It is certainly good to be here this evening. If we've enjoyed a beautiful Lord's Day, we was entreated by a great message from Brother Craig Stevens. He's to be commended for his zeal and his knowledge and understanding of God's Word. And we need more men like that who have taken the time to understand the hermeneutics of the Scriptures and are able to explain it in such a manner to give the sense and the understanding. And so we're thankful for his in-depth studies, a great asset to the Lord's church here at 72nd Street. Not only Brother Craig, but a lot of the men here. We got a lot of men that are talented and that are able to fill in certain positions, and I'm not going to name a whole lot of names, but we're blessed here at this congregation to have that type of talent. That was one of the things that attracted Brother Dismute. He said he had to do almost everything at the last congregation. But here he was relieved from the brethren who are able to step in. So as was mentioned earlier, we hope and pray that all is going well with Brother Dismute and Sister LaWanda, and that they'll have a great success in glorifying God and preaching the gospel. And then on his way back, we hope he'll have a safe return. You have your Bibles. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. For those of you visiting, we're certainly glad to have you come our way. And anything that you might hear, we'll be glad to sit down with you. And if study need be, we'll study God's word to come to an understanding of what thus saith the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you have it. We're going to start at verse 14, and I'm going to read on to about 3 of chapter 3. Starting with verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who have known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hereto ye were not able to bear it, neither ye now are able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? What happens, brethren, when you hear the word profile? And so you think of profile, you know, automatically some of you are probably thinking about the police. The police said, we got a profile on this individual. I'm not talking about the physical side view of someone's head, though that is a profile. And a lot of times they'll have you take a picture, and they'll take a picture of you face and have you turn to the side and get a profile side of who you are. But what I'm talking about is a brief bibliographical essay pertaining to one's remarkable characteristics or their accomplishments. So right away, when you hear something about someone, you have a quick brief profile of who they are. And I just made up a couple of fictitious characters. Let's start off with John Doe. 6'2", weighs about 210. Now already some of you guys are thinking about football there for the moment. That's a pretty healthy young man there. Born in Newport News. He has no permanent address. So see, I'm telling you a little something about him. He has several jobs. He's had these jobs. But yet he has a police record. He's been convicted of illegal drug use. He's been convicted of armed robbery. And now has a warrant for his arrest for attempted murder. Now, I just told you about John Doe. Now, I just gave you a profile, a brief essay of this person's character and a little bit about his background. Now, watch this profile. Martha Doe. She's from Hampton. 5'4", weighs 145. You say, that don't sound as intimidating, does it? So, born in Hampton, graduated with honors from college. Has been married for 15 years with two lovely children, is a manager where she works, making a lucrative means to help to support her family. and she has no police record. So right away, what is the picture that comes to your mind? One is lawless and the other one is lawful. That's the first thing you think of. One is doing just like society would have her to do, and the other one is afraid of the other one because of that profile. Well, you see, when you look at the book of Corinthians, I believe some of these brethren here were guilty of profiling preachers who had came to the pulpit at Corinth. And that's why Paul, and I didn't go to the beginning of chapter 2, verse 1, Paul had to dispel that. You see, the evidence of this was greatly because of the divide in the church. In chapter 1, there was a division going on. And Paul said, wait a minute, we're supposed to speak the same things. And they were guilty of following certain men, and certain these prominent men that were mentioned. And so here's the evidence. Former ministers had contributed to the most of the work here at Corinth. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 11 through 16. Now, these Corinthians were profiling. That's why I'm using that word profile. You know what? We do it too. Yeah, we profile ministers that come up here. There's some likes and dislikes we might like about their person and demeanor and their passion and how they deliver the message, how eloquent they are, how well they speak. Yeah, we profile them. And so here, Corinthians were profiling these Greek leaders of their day and their eloquent speeches and their empty philosophy. You notice I said empty. The Apostle Paul in chapter 2 dispels some of this. Now go to chapter 2, verse 1. Paul says, and I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech. Did you hear that? He says, or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Just like they were viewing some of those other Greek preachers who had come along, who were very eloquent. You know, some people are very eloquent in their speech. But here's my challenge. What is in the substance of the speech? You know, man, he sure preached a wonderful lesson. Well, what did he preach about? I don't know, but it sure sounded good. You ever seen somebody do that? You ever challenge somebody in that? Yeah. What was in the message that captivated you? And so the Apostle Paul says that I declare unto you, brethren, that I came not with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you. Did you hear that? Now, Paul had some knowledge. Paul knew some things. He came up in the school with the Pharisees. Paul was very sharp among many of his peers. But Paul says, I declare unto you to know not anything save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what you need to know. That's the most important thing. We got so many pulpits in the Lord's church that are preaching everything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Maybe that's why the Lord's church is somewhat in trouble. Need to get back to that old gospel preaching once again. And so so Paul goes on and says, he says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. So Paul is saying, it ain't about my stature, my physical stature. That's what you should not be focused on. Oh, I don't like the way he look up there. Therefore, I'm going to turn my ears off and look at my iPad, my 4G, my 5G. He don't look good enough. Yeah, that's my, you know, you look like a preacher. What do he look like? Yes, sir. You look like a preacher. Well, what does he look like? So, my friends, he can come in any shape or form. He could be a little short man like this. If I was that short, I'd get a little stand to stay on. But anyhow, Paul says in verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with, watch this, enticing words of man's wisdom. Let me tell you, brother, there's some strong, powerful speakers out here in the world and got droves following them. And they're very enticing. And you know a few, just right, you take T.D. Jakes. Y'all ain't scared to say his name. You take T.D. Jakes now. T.D. Jakes can preach. He can speak. And got droves following him. And he's not alone, but I just threw him out of here. He's very popular. But my friends, Paul said, I didn't come with enticing word or that of persuasiveness, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He said, now, that your faith, brethren, should not stand in the wisdom of men. That's what we need to be alert about. Not in the wisdom of men, watch this, but in the power of God. Now, what's the power of God? It's the gospel, brother. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. What is it you need to hear? You don't need to hear my philosophy. You need to hear the words of life. That's what you need to hear. As Craig was speaking about this morning, the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. That's what you need to hear. Man should not live by bread alone, my brothers, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You need to spend much time with the words of life. You know how many people that left this world right now who are in Hades in that dark realm wishing they could come back and obey the gospel? I need just one more time. But they can't come back. They can't come back to tell us about it. They can't come back and tell us the horrors of being away from God. The person spends all his life running from God on this side of eternity. And God says, all right, when your eyes finally close, I'm going to let you see what it's like to be away from me. Just like he taught Jonah. Oh yeah, Jonah ran from God. God said, you want to run from me? I'll show you what it's like when you'll never see the dawn of day again. I'll show you what it's like when you'll never see a star again in your sight. I'll show you what it's like to be in utter darkness. Brother Disby preached a powerful sermon one time way in the back concerning the kingdom of God and what we need to be concerned about. Hell is one of them. Now, we don't like those sermons, but they're real. And you know what? Hell is just as real as heaven is. And God is still serious. As just as he was back then, he is still serious right now. Oh, he might not smote you on the moment, but God's anger is storing up his wrath. But brethren, we need the gospel. Paul said, your faith needs to be in the gospel. Sound preaching is not eloquence or human philosophy. Sound preaching is not persuasive words. Sound preaching is not human wisdom. But sound preaching is one great thing: Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what sound preaching is. And you know, it's sad when a brother like this, and he tells me, and I'm pretty sure he tells some of you others, when he goes to preach, he said, man, we ain't heard no preaching like that in years. The brother didn't say in months, years, which means the church may be anemic. And then if it's that bad, then you know worldliness is seeping in. I can guarantee you that, because there's no invigoration. There's no enlivening. The inner man needs to be probed and provoked and encouraged when there's a lack of sound preaching from the pulpit. Well, anyhow, what is Paul's emphasis here? Paul says that your faith stand not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, let's get to the text just for the moment. Now, I just read to you something about a natural man, a spiritual man, and a carnal man. You see, I believe in these texts, God reveals to us in his word how he sees man. There are three classifications here. You got the natural man, you got the spiritual man in verse 15, and the carnal man verses 1 through 3 in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So let's just look at this just for a moment, these three classifications of people. And what I want us to think about tonight, what does your profile look like? That's right. And see, when you think about your profile, yes, the Bible tells us to examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. But in this instance, it'll be your brother or sister looking at you. Because, see, if I was to go outside this building and come and say, could you tell me something about Brother Bob Ballas? And right away, somebody's going to begin to spew off some things of what they know about Brother Bob, his attributes. What type of brother is he in Christ here? Am I getting a little personal now? Yeah. Let me come down on your street, Brother Montrell. What type of brother is Montrell? I may not know anything about the congregation. See, now I'm going to get a slight, a brief analysis or essay of who he is. And somebody's going to tell me. Now, Now, I don't know what they, I hope they tell me some good things, because then, you know, sometimes somebody might give you a skewed version of who he is. I may have to find out for myself. Sometimes people ain't all honest when they give a description of who you are. What if I ask somebody that don't like you? They ain't gonna have good things to say about you. Then I get with Montrell and I find out, hey, Montrell ain't nothing like this. That's why you gotta be careful when somebody tells you something about somebody in the church. You make sure you find out, is that true or not? Before you go around and start spreading whatever that little vicious rumor might be about that person and cause all kind of irreparable damage and harm to the character of that individual. All right, let's get back now. Now, what type of profile? What type of profile do I have? What type of profile do you have? What does your profile look like? Well, let's look at it. The first one, let's look at the natural man. What type of profile do you think a natural man may have? Well, as I remember, I gave you those first two profiles. Let's talk about this one. This is your ordinary man. He's a living soul, yes. He is living on this earth just like an animal. All of us are. All of us are living souls. That's natural. You know, all of us are natural men. Yeah, you were. All of you were natural. All of us are natural man. Watch this. He says, he has never progressed. Now, unfortunately, he's never progressed to the level of spirituality. You see, he's only living for the flesh only, this natural man. Now, let me back up just for a minute. In your text there, when Paul talks about a natural man, Paul is speaking about those who are not really divinely inspired. See, in this instance. Watch what it says right here. Look at verse 14 again. He says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Well, what do you mean? An ungenerate person who has never obeyed the gospel can't receive things? Yes, he can. See, Paul is really speaking on another degree here. Paul is referring to himself, actually, and other inspired men who had came there to preach. Actually, if you go back, you'll find out that he was talking about those men who had come and preached and how the princes of the world that didn't know the wisdom of God are actually being referred here as the natural. But I'm using it in the sense, in the second sense, where we are all natural men. All right? And so he has never progressed to the level of spiritual. His mind and life, energy and efforts are all focused upon the physical, the material, the natural, the world, the flesh, what can be seen, what can be touched, and what can be tasted. That's your natural man. That's his main focus. You see, the natural man is morally corrupt. Yes, he is. A man whose spirit actually is dead to God. The natural man. And think about, Brother Craig, get Ephesians chapter 2 for me right quick if you can. Put you on the spot, brother. Ephesians chapter 2. And let's just listen to this, chapter 2, verse 1. And listen to this for a minute concerning, now these are brethren. These were Gentiles. But Paul is going to talk about the state they were in before they were quickened and made alive. Go ahead, Brother Craig.
And you have been quickened.
You know what that means? Made alive.
Who were dead in trespass.
Stop. Who were dead. That's past tense. Every one of us in here who are saints and members of the body of Christ, you ain't dead any longer. In the eyes of God, you are spiritually alive. The inner man has been wakened. Go ahead, brother.
And quickened who have been dead in trespasses and
sin. Notice this. Why were you dead? Hold on, stop just for a minute. Why were you dead? Trespasses and sins. You know, when you teach someone, you need to learn to teach them about God's law and not about going beyond what's written. You see, when a man goes out and has an intimate relationship with a woman that's not his wife, he just transgressed. That's a trespass. Against who? Himself and God. You need to keep that in mind. You see, our society is so sordid in the filth of immorality that it's a normal thing right now. Not knowing that the wrath of God could come at any moment. See, you act like you got tomorrow. You act like you can go and have your little fun and sow your little wild oats. What if God comes right at that moment? Or worse than that, what if God don't come in that moment, then you leave that person's house and you die on your way home? How many people are going to die in their sins? A whole lot. That's right. Keep going, brother.
When times past,
you walked according to what?
To the course of this world.
To the course of this world. That's a different walk. There's a lot of people walking that walk right now. Guess what? All of us did too at one time. We used to walk the course of that world. Isn't that right? Couldn't wait to get to that club at night and hang out there with the whoremongers and the fornicators and the adulterers. Hey, how do I know? I know all about that. Can't wait to get out there, to be out there. That's right, with the wine by bitters. That's right. And the adulterers and the liars. All of them out there. Yes, sir. Ain't nothing out there in that world for you. Man, thank God for Christ Jesus who called you by the gospel, and now you are in his refuge, the church. There you go. Keep going, Brother Craig. Prince of the power of the air. He ain't talking about the angel Gabriel. Keep going.
That the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Children.
Those, all men are children. You're either children, what? Of obedience or disobedience. Keep going.
Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh.
We all had our conversation. That word conversation is your manner of life. Type of life you were living. It ain't talking about some talk. Some chat. It's talking about that type of life you were living. Go ahead, brother.
Fulfilling the desires of the flesh.
Fulfilling the desires of what?
Of the flesh.
See, that's a natural man. See, because all he's thinking about is appeasing his flesh. That's a natural man. It's easy to give in to that. You ever been tempted about something and you try your best not to give in, and then eventually you give in? All of us been there. You see, because all of us can be tempted. Whatever it might be, that temptation might be. And man, that thing draws on you. You see, that's just like Craig said this morning. You need to try to concentrate and think on things what that are positive, things that are good. Because if you don't allow your mind to think on that which is spiritual, you're on your way down. You're not going to make it. Especially when that person calls you and says, come on up, and you know it's wrong. Right then, you need to hang up. Before you think about it any longer. And let that seed dwell in your heart and your mind. And before you know it, you're right in the gall of it. It's too late then. That's right. Keep going, Brother Craig.
And of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others.
Even as others. That's Ephesians 2, 1, verse 3. You see, the natural man, his whole mind and life and energy and effort is all focused on the physical and the material. You see, he does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. And you say, what? Now, why is it? I've been around men. I've been around these natural men, reprobate in their minds. Oh, I don't have no time for that. And I heard that not too long ago. No, don't bring none of that God, Jesus stuff for me. I've done that before. I ain't got no time. But see, now I feel sorry for that, brother. I just hope and pray one day he'll have a change of heart. But if you're not careful, as Brother Greg Dismuke preached one time, you can cross that Rubicon and you can't come back. You can get so far gone in your mind and in your thinking, the gospel has no effect. No matter how much you might plead with him. Now, we don't want to really come out and say that. That's the fact. There's nothing else left at your disposal but the gospel of Christ. And if a man won't hear that, he ain't got nothing else left. He has no hope. According to Ephesians 2, verse 12, at one time those Ephesians were in this world without hope and without the gospel. And that's why, brethren, we need to realize how important it is to preach the pure gospel behind the pulpit, because souls are at stake. My soul, your soul is at stake. And there's nothing else going to help you get to heaven, brethren. We ain't got time for these wonderful stories out here. We need to be redeeming the time, brethren. And so, they won't receive the Spirit. Now, why is it that they won't receive the Spirit of God? Well, didn't Paul say something about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18? As he talked about these stoics and these philosophers, he says, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. It's foolishness to a natural man. You know, a natural man look at it. There's people laughing today about this thing about Jesus resurrecting and dying on him. Yeah, they make fun of Hollywood, makes fun of it too. Boy, they want Jesus to commit sin so bad. They cannot fathom that he ain't never laid down with a woman. But that's what they want. See how degraded the world is in its mind, in its thinking? degenerate in his thinking. And that's almost somewhat blasphemy. And we know Jesus didn't do anything like that. Jesus was never married. And so in order for him to do that, he'd have to be married, but he never was married. So then, what are you saying? He commit fornication? Fornicate? I don't think so. You need to be careful with that. See how man tampers? You see, there's no fear of God in their eyes. No fear of God. And so the Spirit, the preaching of the cross. See, there are a lot of men that think preaching is foolishness. Man, like I told you, how many people done left this world that are lost that would love to hear a sermon right now? I got news for you. If God would let them come back, they would out-preach me up here. And Brother Dismuke, they would out-preach all of us. Because they saw the reality of what God meant. And brother, they would be quoting the Bible from the front to the back. They might not even go to bed any longer. The urgency of this matter. And so the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to them that perish, but unto us it's the power of God. Now the question asks is, well, why is it that the natural man is somewhat discerned? Why is it that he just don't get this? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 right quick, Greg. 3 and 4. All right. Read that for me, brother.
Well, I know nothing by myself.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4.
All right. But if our gospel be hid.
If the gospel, you hear that? If it be hid. Is the gospel hid? Not really. No, that gospel been preached so much. It's been preached a lot in this country. That's why you need to be careful, brother. Because too much to him that's given is going to be required. As much gospel as you done heard in this country, you better do your best to make sure you make it to heaven. That's right. You're without excuse. We're not in some remote jungle somewhere where we've never heard Jesus and God's name. We've heard so much gospel here, you need to do your very best to make sure you make it to heaven. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to who, Craig?
To them that are lost.
To them that are lost. Why, Craig, are they lost?
In whom the God of this world.
Oh, that little G, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
Blinded the minds of
he blinded their minds.
Which believe not.
Stop right there. Why their minds blinded? They don't believe. And if you work with somebody, you try to tell them something, and they look at you like you're crazy. I mean, to your best of your ability, you try to expound to them the truth of God's word, and they look at you like, what? That can't be. That's why when the Bible says, if the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, these are the people that say, I just can't see one church. I can't see that you don't have instrumental music. I can't believe we don't speak tongues. I can't believe. I can't. The little God has taken over. Your mind has been blinded. Why? Because you just choose not to believe. Keep going on, Craig.
Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ.
Watch this. Now, you know what? When you can't see something, that means you're in the dark. Did you know that? You ever go in a room when it's dark and you're like, man, I can't see a thing. But you know what? You stay there long enough and your eyes will adjust. And you know what? You will be in the dark and don't even realize you're in the dark. That's right. And that's the light. There's some light here. Keep going.
Of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
There you go. Should shine unto them. Now, you know what's a beautiful thing? It's when you see an unregenerate person, an unbeliever, hear the gospel, and then they're convinced. And then they say, oh, I see. Ooh, that's some good words right there. I see. You see, now we're talking about their integrity and the honesty of the heart. They have allowed the word of God to be impregnated in the heart. And now spiritual life is starting. The inner man is waking. I'm convinced that God is who he is. I believe the testimony of the word that's preached, just like those Pentecost. Men and brethren, once you get them to a certain point, they'll be begging you, where is the water? I'm ready to be baptized. There you go. Have you ever seen that before? I've seen it on numerous occasions. That's a beautiful thing. You know that? And even if you don't see it, you did the labor. You planted the seed. Who knows? Someone may come by and water it. It could be 10, 15. They may not respond to you, but someone else, they'll remember what you told them. That's why you should constantly be preaching the word. And so here, he says, unless the light of that glorious gospel should shine unto them. You see, that's the predicament of a natural man. That's his profile. He's without hope. Well, you know what the next one is? The next one is the carnal man. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We read that just for a moment. You see, what is the profile of a carnal man? The Bible says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as to unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hereto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, and are ye not carnal and walk as men? You see, the mind is the seat of our understanding, brethren. It's the seat of reflective consciousness, comprising of the faculties of our understanding and those of feeling, judging, and determining. Whenever we use the word judge, we're talking about being able to discern. Basically, that's what we're talking about. You see, our desires and appetites pretty much are indicators of what type of mindset we are. Now, here we go. Here's the carnal profile. What were the Corinthians called? Someone would call carnal. That Greek word, sakanoi, means flesh. And so this believer has allowed flesh and its passions to captivate and control his behavior. Now, you know what? This is a brother. He's a little bit different than the natural man. He was a natural man, but he did obey. But something has happened in the process since the time he has obeyed. He has allowed the lower appetites of his nature to take over to the flesh. He's done giving in. And so this believer has allowed this flesh and his passions to captivate and control his behavior. The carnal man, watch this, follows the lower part of his nature. You know what Paul told the Roman church? For they that are after the flesh, watch this, do mind the things of the flesh. What is it that you mind? Yeah, what is it that you really mind? What is it that's on your mind, brethren? That's something every one of us can ask ourselves. Personally, especially when you're alone. Not when your brothers are watching. When you're alone. This is how you find out who you really are. When ain't nobody there with their eyes on you. But I got news for you, brethren. The Lord watching. He's always watching. I don't care where you can go. You can go on a submarine down in the depths of the ocean. They're still looking for 370, that flight, Mike. You can go on down there. He knows you down there. That's right. There's some deep waters out there. Now, what is the problem with carnal-mindedness, brethren, in the church? You see, is that your profile? Think about what he said here. Carnal-mindedness, you know what that does? It just robs multitudes in the Lord's church who should be teachers after some time. Hebrews 5, brother, 12 and 14. That's what it does. Yet when the Bible commands us that we're to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. Keep going, Hebrews 5, 12. What was wrong with these Christians here? Go ahead, Hebrews 12, 12. You need to be a teacher. You have need that someone teach you again. The first principles once again. You done been at whole stop. You done been in church 20 years. You still on first principles. What in the world just happened? 20 years now. Know every song out there on the top 20 charts. Know all the lyrics. Know all that. What's the problem? I tell you what that is. It's called worldliness. It's not spiritual minded. That's carnal. Now, it's them in itself. There are some things out there. There's nothing wrong with it. But this stuff has occupied your mind to the point you don't know much scripture. Now, I'm not saying you got to sit here and quote scripture, but familiarize yourself with it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Why is it that you can't instruct or teach someone? I'm not talking about babes. I'm talking about somebody who's been in church for a while. 20 years really is a long time. You think about that. How many times do you think you could read the Bible in 20 years? Doesn't take that long. Yes, sir. Oh, that's right. You see,
Just sitting on that pew and warming it ain't going to get you into heaven, brother. You got to get God's word in your life. You got to get that word off the pages into your heart, brethren. That's how you know who he is. Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. There you go. Carnal-minded is, and there was evidence of this. Keep going, Brother Craig.
And I become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat.
You know what Paul said? Paul said, there's some things I can't even tell y'all. A little bit too deep for you. Yeah. I mean, wait a minute, you ain't graduate. I can't even go in that Old Testament a little bit here. That's right. I got to stay on the first rudiments here. Keep going, Brother Craig.
For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness.
Some people are unskillful in the word who use milk. You know what that means? Keep going, Brother Craig.
For he is a baby.
That's right.
The strong meat belongs to them that are of full age.
Okay. Have their senses exercised by reason of use. Hear that? They have used it and applied it in their lives. And so thus they are better to make spiritual decisions when they're confronted with a situation. They don't make the same mistakes as babes in Christ who does not have the experience yet. See, everyone has to start from the beginning. But Brother Montrell, you don't make the same mistakes now you did when you were 10. I hope not. Or where your wife at? She in trouble. Okay, she ain't here tonight. You safe now. That's right. Can you imagine? Can you imagine, Brother Craig, you making the same mistakes you made at 15? Boy, Alicia, I'll be praying for you. You gonna have something on your hand. You have raised another child. You got two daughters grown, and now you got a husband. You gotta raise him. That sounds strange, don't it? Well, then God expects us to grow. We need to be grown. We don't need a lot of big brethren with pampers on. Get them pampers off. That's right. And we need to grow up. And this includes me, brother. All of us, this includes me as well. I need to challenge myself to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brother Maxwell, are you doing more than you did last year? Are you trying to add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance? You know them virtues. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5 on to 8. You know those virtues? Godliness, that's right. Temperance, brotherly love, kindness, and most of all charity, which is greatest of all. Carnal mindedness, brethren, robs the church. Causes one to bring no fruit to perfection. Luke 8 verse 14. They have heard, they go forth, and what's happening? You're choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. Why do we have in-house fighting in the church? Carnality, brethren. If I can't get it my way, ain't nobody gonna get it. And so I'm gonna fight you. And when you got a church fighting in-house, you ain't evangelizing. Too much turmoil in the congregation when we ought to be about the Lord's business. That's not the Lord's business, brethren. No, sir. That's far from it. Causes one to waste time in spiritual matters and not having the priority in their life. Paul warned us. He says, wherefore, he said, wake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. What does carnal mindedness do? It disrupts peace and unity, brethren. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3. What does carnality do? It causes contention and quarrels amidst God's people. And it's killers of the work that God would have us to do. And you know what that is? It's a work of the flesh. Galatians 5:20. And the work of the flesh, that's not a good profile to have. No, you need to be bearing the fruits of the Spirit, not the works of the flesh. Contentions and quarrels and sad evidence of carnality in the church. The Bible says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs 13, verse 10. Carnal-mindedness eventually causes men to follow men. I'm going to tell you what's a sad evidence. When you got a brother, and he don't like what's going on, maybe with the leadership, so he'll try to pull a few brothers to himself. You know, Paul warned us about brethren like that. They don't even spare the flock. He'll find simple brethren who are not strong enough in the faith to resist him and say, now why is it that you're doing this? It's not in the same cause and agenda of the leadership to disrupt the unity that's here. And you got to ask yourself, what is your motive? What's your profile like? I tell you what, you need to go warn all the other sheep. That's what you do. especially when he ain't in harmony. All right. Yes, the carnality. That's the profile of one that's carnal. And guaranteed, division ain't far along. Division is in there. There is some schism in the body. You better guarantee that. Yes, sir. But you know something? That's the profile of a carnal man. That's right, carnal man. Now, here's another profile. Then you got the spiritual man. You see, God looks at all three of these people. He sees a natural, a carnal, and I saved this one for last, the spiritual. The spiritual man has a different mindset, brethren, than the carnal man. The spiritual man is sanctified and made spiritually minded by minding the things of the Spirit. When a brother minds the Spirit, there's going to be a separation. You know, Jesus said something about that. Sanctify them through thy word. Huh? Sanctify them through thy word. Keep going. Say it with me. By thy word. What? It's the word of truth. There it is. Sanctify them through thy word, for the word of truth. When a person walks by truth, there's sanctification, brother. Because where does truth come from? Man? No. It comes from God. That's where it comes from. And we are a sanctified people. A spiritual man allows himself to be guided, instructed, influenced by the Holy Spirit through his obedience of God's word. Thus, the natural man knows no more of the spiritual man than of any spiritual matters. He is a stranger to spiritual principles. You see, that's why when you live right, people look at you strangely. Didn't Peter say somebody? He said they think it's strange that you run not with them to same excess of riot, speaking evil of you when you're living right. Hey, let me tell you what. You won't be the star of the party when you're living for God. You'll be the most unpopular person in whatever area you're in. They'll rather be on your job, maybe even in your home. Yeah, you know, God said, I didn't come to bring people. I came to bring a water swallow. You might have enemies even in your home when you're living right. Oh, now worse than that, even in the church, you can be living right. And even some of your brethren, envious of you. That's what was going on in Corinthia. Envious, strife, jealousy. You see, spiritual mindedness. This man's objective is the mind of Christ. He is really seeking to have the mind of Christ. Remember what Jesus told those Jews on that one occasion after he had fed all 5,000 of them and they followed him? And Jesus kind of reproved them a little bit. He says, labor not for the meat which perish, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him have God the Father sealed. What meat unto everlasting life? I think the answer is in the Bible. The meat that is unto everlasting life is the will of the Father. That's the meat. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. You know, that's your meat too. Is to do the Father's bidding. See, Christianity, here's the profile of a spiritual man. Christianity to him is a way of life. And I'll go a little bit deeper. It ain't a way of life. It is life. That's it. You know, it's something that he gradually grows in. Can you imagine what Paul said? You know what Paul meant when he said in Galatians 2:20? That about sums it up, doesn't it? For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. There it is. That's the right mindset. That's a powerful sermon right there, Brother Mike. Yes, it is. Brother Ralph Sinclair preached on that one time. Did an excellent job. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's the profile of a spiritual man. You see, this is not a garment that he puts on and takes off like you do your normal clothes. He keeps this garment on day and night. Why? Because he strives to keep himself unspotted from the world. What's pure religion? Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. There it is. Here's a spiritual man. He realizes he's been bought with a price by the blood of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Here is a spiritual man. He realizes the presence of God in his life and in every act and thought and deed that he participates in. That's a spiritual man. He knows that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. Proverbs 15:3. That's a spiritual man and how he thinks. He knows that his life is an epistle before all men that are read. So therefore, when someone asks about him, when they look at his profile, he'll say, that's a godly man. There it is. You don't have to worry about that, brother. He's faithful. Your wife is safe around him. You don't have to worry about him. He's not going to try anything underhanded. He's trustworthy. That man is honest. His wife doesn't have anything to worry about, whether she's around him or not. He's a godly man. Why y'all looking at me strange? That's right. That is correct, brother. And I tell young ladies, you want you a man? Don't come to me and tell me about you want a man. You want a good man? You get a good God-fearing man. And then you don't have to worry about what he's doing when he ain't around you. I've been married almost 26 years. I never gave that an instance. Now, I'm not boasting. I'm just thankful to God. He captivated my heart that when I said I do, I meant it. That's my wife. I love her. And I don't love anyone else like that. She's mine, and I'm hers. And I'm glad, and that felt good to know in that virtue of love, I've never transgressed that covenant between me and her. And that's where it ought to be, brother. You know, people look at you strange when you say, I've never cheated on my wife. Huh? That comes from a spiritual man. There's a difference. And you know, there's something to say about virtue. You can't put a price tag. There are so many people hurting in this world. Ooh. Oh my God. And you feel for them. Their life is so destroyed and ruined. And that's what God never intended that. Jesus said, I came to give life and to give it more abundantly. See, a spiritual man is enjoying that because he is feasting at the Lord's table. He enjoys that. When he comes to worship, you don't have to prod him. He comes because he wants to be here. You don't have to force the spiritual man here. He knows he's coming to worship his God. And when he comes to worship, he reverences him. He knows how to behave himself in the house of God. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. Like all of us should strive to do. That's a spiritual man. That's the profile of a spiritual man. He's a soul winner. When he comes to worship, he gives up his means. He don't have any problem giving up his means. That's a spiritual man. This spiritual man, when he gets up and prays, he prays from the heart. You can feel it. You know that man means it as he approaches God. He comes with boldness, but yet in humility. Because he knows his righteousness is like filthy rags. Isaiah 64, verse 6. All of his salvation is predicated on the righteousness of God. That's a spiritual man. And the spiritual man will not turn his eye when he knows his brother's in need. And if he's able, he's there for his aid. That's a spiritual man. You see, he doesn't think of himself all the time. He thinks of others. See, when you can only see yourself, that's a small world. Man, that's a small world. Maybe that's why you're miserable. You need to look beyond yourself. That's what Jesus said, deny yourself, and you'll start to see other things. That's right. You start to see others in the world along with you. A spiritual man. Yes. Look at Colossians 3, verse 12, 15. I'm going to close now. I ain't going to keep you. I kept you all a long time now. Now, be careful how you talk about me when you go out in the parking lot. It might get back to me. Colossians chapter 3, just for a minute. I'm going to close with this. And may this be for all of us who are striving to have spiritual minds. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. Put that in your character, brother. Have mercy for one another, just like your Father has mercy. He says, and compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Watch this. Forbearing one another. You know, it doesn't hurt to be patient sometimes. And your brother might not get it done like you want, but be patient with him. Give him time. Maybe he's not teaching the class like you hope he would teach it, but bear with him. He's trying. I never fault a man who's trying. That's right. See, in order to get good at teaching, you got to keep trying. In order to get good at evangelizing and teaching someone, you got to keep doing it. That's how you get good in anything. It's repetition, repetition, repetition. And to get good in studying the scriptures, you got to keep reading until finally it comes to you. And so the Bible says here, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ. That, what's your motivation? Just like the Lord forgave you, forgive you, so also do ye. You know what that is? That's a spiritual mind. Oh, you offended me. Now I'm going to go around and talk about you. Do you know what so-and-so did to me? I wanted to jab slap him so bad. No, that's the wrong attitude. When someone offends you, you're supposed to go to them. The spiritual mind will hear the words of Christ and try to reconcile with your brother and make things right. You see, it takes a big man to do that. Did you know that? See, the world looks at that as weak. See, the world says you're supposed to knock him out. That's not how citizens live in the kingdom of God. See, that's a carnal mind, a spiritual mind. You go to that brother and you try to get things right. And then if he won't hear you, then you go get you some witnesses and you try again. You don't give up on him. And then if he don't hear you, what does the Bible tell us? Then you bring it before the church to bring him to shame. That's the purpose there. You're still trying to win his soul. You want things to be right between you and your brother. So that when you offer up your worship, you're not in turmoil as you're trying to worship God, knowing that things ain't right between you and that brother. That's a spiritual mind. That's the difference. That's the profile. Do we fit that profile, brother? Is that our profile? What does your profile look like? That's my question tonight. Are you a natural? If you're a natural, you can change that. You can become spiritual tonight. You can obey the gospel. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are put away. Behold, all things become new tonight. They can change tonight. You're here tonight and you've heard things necessary to obey the gospel by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and repenting of your past sins, confessing your faith that he is the Son of God, and being baptized in the watery grave of baptism, buried in him, raised to walk in the newness of life. Notice, newness of life. Come up a new man. New generation, regeneration of the spirit. Have you done that? You can do that tonight. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ, what profile do you fit? The carnal man or the spiritual man? I hope it's the spiritual. If not, we need to work on that. Go to the Father in prayer if it's in private and pray for the thoughts and intents of your heart. If it's public, make it known publicly. We'll pray on your behalf and pray that God will forgive you of the thoughts and intents of your heart. I don't know what it is your need might be tonight, but don't you just sit there tonight. See, today is the day of salvation. We don't know if tomorrow's coming. You only have tonight. I'm going to preach urgency now. I'm not going to sit here and tell you you got tomorrow. You don't know if tomorrow's coming. Somebody may lay down tonight, may not get back up. It happens all the time. You think about that young girl that was running. She was only 16, and she collapsed right there. That was it. 16 years old. And people say, what happened to her? What happened to her? She died. Your life is like a vapor, which appeared for a moment, then vanished away. Boy, wasn't that a great lesson my brother Dismute? You know how you look down at that little ant and say, man, you're only here for 45 days, 60. That ain't no time. And you know what? God is looking right at you and saying, you're not here that long either. That's right. You ain't here that long as you think you are. I don't care. Well, my grandma lived 90 years. Well, that's just great. But was she in Christ when she left here? That's right. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What does a man have to give in exchange for? So what do you have? Even if you can own the whole world, what do you have? Your soul is more valuable than the whole earth. To God it is. Now, is it that valuable to you? If you need to hear this invitation, please do so as we stand and sing.